God's Word for Us.com, Ghana's online Christian station. Be blessed as you listen to messages on the site.
Comes about. You are not happy, so I might put this topic down. I said, how prosperity comes about. And specifically, financial prosperity. You are not happy. Let me go to another topic. I'm talking about the full armor of God today. Amen. Hallelujah. Amen. Hallelujah. And you know, prosperity is the gospel. It's part of us. It's not anything big or scary. It's part of us. They are simple, simple things with the word you have to understand. So I want you to just get ready with your Bibles, your notebooks, your tablets, your pens, and put down as many things that you can put down, because a lot of principles will come through. And we will try by the Spirit of God to use the Bible to answer the Bible. Amen. Now, I told you that a lot of people have been asking me questions. And when they are asking the question, it's like they have their answer already. Those people can grow in the knowledge of God. Why? Because, you know, it's stupidity to just conclude on somebody's thought that it is the thought of God. Did you understand what I said? I said it's stupidity to conclude on somebody's thought. Imbibe it as the thought of God. Meanwhile, it contradicts scriptures. For example, like a lot of people have had their own personal assertions about tithe and offerings and seeds and all that. So if you have been abreast with those people's thoughts and ideologies, and you read the Bible and you see contradiction, and you still want to put the Bible down and pick up the thoughts of other people, it's selfishness. It's even far more than error. It's darkness. It's darkness. It far more exceeds stupidity. Yes. Now, a lot of people have concluded in their own heart. And that's how, you see, you are a man. You are the makeup of someone. You are so complex. When you look at you, try and understand yourself. You see that you could not understand yourself. Try and think beyond your life from the earth. You will not be able to go there. You'll be able to think about things you want to do next year, the money you want to make, everything. You can't think about them. Sometimes even to go to the following year, you can't go there. Why? Because your thoughts become finite. But when you switch into the Holy Spirit and you are speaking in tongues, things of 30 years can be coming into your spirit. Please, are you hearing my point? So when you switch from the human realm to the God realm or to the spirit realm, you see things and you know things. Now, I'm going to be making a lot of deep proclamations, statement of faith and facts of the word of God. Now hear this. The word of God, the Bible was inspired by the Spirit of God. The word of God says that the Bible is an inspiration of God. It is for reproof, correction. It is for guidelines, guidance, prosperity and all that. Now, it is wrong, therefore, for any man to bring their own human interpretation to something that was inspired by the Spirit. I hope you are hearing and understanding my point. So, you hear a lot of people say, the Bible says it, but I don't believe it. Who are you? That is what we tell you. Who are you? When God is talking, you say, me. That you would die. That today you are, tomorrow you are not. Do you script? Do you write scriptures? What spirit do you have? that someone did not give you. We are talking about the giver giving us things. And you are talking about you that you have been given trying to come and dispute the giver. It doesn't make spiritual sense. It doesn't even make common sense. You know, common sense is humanity sense. Spiritual sense is higher sense. Conscience, you're talking deeply in the spirit. What brings about thoughts is where I'm talking about. Conscience. What are the motives behind you doing what you are doing? Now, so I need you to just follow me as I follow Jesus Christ. I hear no sipani hataske. Now, everything that is in the kingdom of God is by an act of faith. See, an act of faith. Now, everything in the kingdom is about, is by an act of faith. Now, praying is an act of faith. Praying is an act of faith. The Bible says in the book of James, chapter 1, you read from the verse number 4 to the verse number 6, 7. He says, if you want to ask God for anything or wisdom, ask him without what? Wavering. Without doubting. Ask him by faith. For he that doubts is like the wave of the sea tossed with the wind to and fro. Let not that man think, that man who is in that state of doubt and what? You know, waving his mind. Let not that man think that he shall receive anything from the Lord. Anything. Even the minute thing on the earth, he shall not receive it. So that means that every Christian that must receive from God must guard against his word. Yes. You have to be very careful about your faith. You need to have shields of faith around you. But anything that is trying to come and beat your faith down, you quench it with a shield of faith. Are you hearing my point? So that is why faith, people who are radical in faith, they reject everything from human perspective. The moment you want to say, they don't want to listen. Because they have shield of faith with which you quench all the fiery dart. The devil's weapons are called fiery dart. They are taught words that he speaks to debase and put down the word of God. But you put up a defense of the shield of faith. When he's coming to say that, hey, you are pray, what have you got? He said, hey, prayer is what? It's a necessity for a believer. Amen? Are you hearing my point? Prayer is a daily tablet you take. Pray without ceasing, the Bible says. Today is a season, tomorrow will be another season. He said, pray. So prayer is an act of faith. And prayer is a principle of faith. When it is codified, it's a principle. When you start embarking on it, it's an act. When there's an act of parliament, it can sit in the books until somebody begins to enforce it. It's an act. It's enacted by law. So when we say something is an act, God has enacted it into what? Into force. That is what is codified. That is the only way to do things. So prayer is an act of faith. It's a principle also of faith. Now, dancing is a principle of faith. Dancing is a principle of faith. Now, we have a lot of, you know, examples in the Bible that even the man David praised God with dancing so much so that he became naked halfway and his wife despised his praise and God closed the womb of the wife because the praise was an act of faith to God. But anything that is not done of faith is a sin. But anything that is done of faith is an act of God. It pleases God. Amen. And without faith, it's impossible to please God. For he that cometh to God must believe that he is, and that he is a rewarder of them that diligently seek God. That is the Bible. So, prayer is an act of faith. Dancing is an act of faith. Singing is an act of faith. It's an act of faith. So, you can sing carnally, nothing happens. But when you begin to switch into the act of faith, something happens. Heavens begin to open. Amen. That is why when you are worshiping, you worship from the purest of your heart. Anything that is an act of faith has some dimensions of purity of the Lord. It has to come from the Spirit. Singing is an act of faith. Worshipping is an act of faith. Clapping your hands to praise God. Stamping your feet to praise God is an act of faith. That is why I say it's not an act of devil. You don't just clap because you want the devil out. You say, come out. Jesus taught us the way. But when we clap our hands, we say, clap your hands and appreciate the grace and the power of God. And so we begin to clap our hands. Today, clap your hands. Let me see how you appreciate God. Yes, it's an act of faith. Praise the Lord. So from today, when we say, clap your hands and appreciate God, don't ever hesitate or be in a state of kind of wonder. No, it's an act of faith. It fetches you something from God. If it's done of faith, it is paid off. I can open several scriptures to you about this act of faith. Amen. Now, lifting up holy hands is an act of faith. The Bible says lifting holy hands without wrath nor what? Doubting. Lifting what? So God says your hands are what? He wants to see them. Sometimes it's difficult for Christians to lift up our hands. We feel burdened on our shoulders. No. Whenever you feel burdened on your shoulder, it means that you don't want to carry your burden to the Lord. You want to retain it. That is why you lift up your hands like this unto God. Lifting up holy hands is an act of faith. When you lift it up, the burden on your shoulder is lifted unto Him. He takes it away. That's what the Bible has recorded it. It's in the Bible. Lifting up holy hands without wrath nor doubting. The Bible says so. So when you are praying and you lift up your hands and Leko skiba hateshko lima adesh skiba andehosheti lizabro skiba hata, you are lifting up holy hands in worship and in praise unto God. Thank you, Bosada. He said, do not doubt when you are lifting up your hands. Do not doubt. Do not be angry. Because he knows that it's not easy for human beings to lift up their hands. So he says the tendency for people to be angry is there. The tendency for people to be in wrath is there. The tendency for people to want to be burdened is there. He said, without wrath, nor doubting. So don't doubt. So lifting up hands, what does he do? He does a lot. God has revealed that lifting up holy hands without what? Wrath, nor doubting. Thank you, Jesus. Lift up holy hands without wrath, nor doubting. And wave it to the Lord. Now, when you do this, I see like sparkling of fire. And you all of a sudden begin to feel on your fingertips and your hands some kind of anointing. Thank you, Jesus, for the glory of God. How can't you see glory? Shada Bahaya. Serene environment of the Spirit. Wherever you are, just lift up and wave unto the Lord. Say, Father, I thank you. I lift up holy hands to worship you. Hallelujah. Now clap the hands and let's see if you... Yes. An act of faith. Say an act of faith. Yes, it's an act of faith. Worshipping is an act of faith. Somebody want to just lay on the ground. He's put a song and he has some scripture. And he's reciting the scripture and quoting it from his spirit unto the Lord. Leraro shada bahatis. Lekondi baba zevi atuza bahadis. Legonski jona bareno saba. Thank you, Holy Spirit of God. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you for my life. And he's worshiping. Then he will sing a song small. He will walk about. Just 30 minutes, you are doing all these things. Power is what. And if it's your culture, something begins to happen. Your atmosphere is always saturated with the presence of God. Sometimes when you walk to your office for the next 15 minutes, you turn on your phone with some speaker and then you start worshiping with some Holy Ghost saturated songs, spirit-filled scriptural songs. You are here walking in our midst. I worship you. I worship you. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you for this office. Thank you, Father, for all the documents of this house. Thank you for all the documents of this office. Thank you for all the signatories of this office. Thank you, Father, for the transactions of this office. In the name of Jesus. You don't ask anything. Just say, Aloho Shandaba. You are holy, Jesus. I thank you, Lord. This is your son, O Lord. Lifting up holy hands to worship you, Jesus. Oh Lord, Mandabosha, I thank you, Kadarosha, for this office that you have granted me, Lord. For this chair that you have given me, Lord. Somebody want to come and do some juju against your chair, the person will die. Because if the Lord doesn't kill the person, he will not be receiving worship like that. Oh, let my whole same video. This is pure worship from your heart. Oh, thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Lord. You can do the same. Father, I thank you for my family you've given me. Thank you for my children, my wife. Thank you for my family. Thank you. Labor Sunday. Thank you for you can do the same for finances. Leron sopra ira huzgil and ateya donske. Elon shahata kabaya. Thank you. You are the one that giveth me power to get wealth. I thank you for the riches in the name of Jesus. Alo shanda bakuja. Holy Ghost is your work, oh God. Le so grahigon mashkeda andabo satakada hoshi. You are just worshiping, singing songs, blessing His holy name. It's worshiping. It's an act of God. It's an act of God. And sometimes you are teaching the word and preaching and somebody stands and begins to clap. It's an act of God. It's by inspiration of the Spirit. It's an act of God. It's an act of God. See somebody lift up and say, so anywhere there's spirit-filled people, you'll be seeing those things. When the teaching enters the spirit, you see the person will lift up their hands and start without disturbing themselves. You'll be speaking in tongues. I'm filled in Jesus' name. Oh, shaka. After preaching and teaching, and I said, begin to thank God. You see that you lift up your and say, Father, I thank you. I'm filled with your word. It's an act of God. Let's see. Thank you for your word, oh God. In Jesus' name, your word is in my spirit. Your word is saturating me on the shah. Let her show me her glory. You know that? It's not an act of God. That one is not part of it. You don't care about your environment. You don't care about anybody like David. Oh, so tired. Thank you for your word. The entrance of your word give a light. Oh, yeah. He give an understanding to me, oh Lord. For I am simple in heart. In the name of Jesus. You are speaking tongue. You are kaboing. Maya nosha. Ino sevi. Rano sambakila hartas. Pray in the spirit. It's an act of God. I say it's an act of God. It's an act of God. Glory. I say glory. When you sit down and soak the word, you are hearing the word of God. Whether you are playing a tape or you're on YouTube watching the word of God or something, your attention is tuned to the word. You cannot be divided. It's an act of God. A revelation comes that I receive. Razon Brahiza Lega Sokima is an act of God. Thank you, Lord. It's an act of God. When you are on this act of God consistently, you fall into the full plan of God for your life. You begin to reshape your destiny. Because you see, when every man that is born to the world, the Lord lights you when you are born of God. When you are born of God, the Bible says that which is born of the flesh is flesh. That which is born of the spirit is spirit. That which is born of blood, it's blood. Now hear this. It says, we are born of God, not of the will of what? Of what? Of man. Nor of the will of the flesh. The flesh is the blood. But of the will of what? God. Now, there are three people on earth. There's one that is born of the will of man. There's another that is born of the will of blood or flesh. There's another that is born of the will of God. Of the will of God is the spirit. So there are so many children that you have given birth to, people have given birth to, they were born of the will of man. People were doing contraceptives to tame it. So as and when they wanted to give birth, then they gave birth. That was the will of man. That was the will of man. There were others. Like David. What David did with Bathsheba. Before the Lord killed that baby. That baby was going to be born of the will of the flesh. It was the will of the flesh. And always the will of the flesh competes with the will of the spirit. And even man. As for the will of the flesh, they are able to tame the will of men. The Bible says two children having been in their mother's womb and having done nothing wrong. The Bible says one has been chosen, one is despised, one is of the flesh, one is of the spirit. One is of the will of God, one is of the will of flesh. The will of the flesh is enmity with God. That's the one that everything about God he rejects, everything about Satan he picks. Everything about the natural order, he likes it. He ends up picking Satan. Because Satan highlights the things of the flesh. So when you go to do the things of the club, it's the things of the flesh. It's enmity with God. When you're drinking alcohol, you're drunk in it, it's the will of flesh. And Satan has been hiding under the will of the flesh. He intended to control the will of the flesh. That's why he entered into the human race. So there are three people born. There are days you are doing contraceptives and the doctors told you that you can't give birth, it's impossible. And all of a sudden you are found with a baby. You have been holding and praying, doing all kinds of things so that you will give birth. It wasn't coming. All of a sudden, there was a prophecy of God. And then you pat them. Then is the will of God. Mary, you shall be found with a child. The will of God. Zachariah, the high priest, he said, you shall be with a child. He said, how can this be possible? He says, listen, you shall be deaf and not speak because you have doubted the word of God. I am Gabriel. Don't you know me that I come with glad tidings and you dare doubt? Mary asked the same question. Nothing was happening to Mary. You have been asking God for a miracle. Sometimes, some of you have been praying and praying, believing God, I want to trust God for a baby. It's not coming. You know why? You are going to give birth to the will of the will of God. Your child that is coming is the will of God. That child will do something unique. My mother carried this burden for years. No child. All the children she gave birth to were dead. Her womb was taken. She just closed her mind. The prophet said, you are going to have children. God is going to bring children in your womb. She laughed and mock even the prophet. It doesn't make sense. It doesn't make scientific sense. But when we switch from science and the natural order to the will of God, it actually makes a lot of sense. That what is impossible with man, that is what is possible. So when the impossibilities of men are highlighted to the highest peak, that is when the possibilities of God steps in. What is in your life that is impossible? I tell you, I'm introducing you to the possibilities of God. You have been waiting for that money. It is not coming. The possibilities of God is today here. Am I talking to somebody here? You've been showing, praying, that money must come. It's not coming. When the will of man is up, when it exceeds its limits, that is when the will of God sets in. The impossibilities of man, when it becomes the peakness, when you have searched everywhere, nobody is helping you. And you turn to God and say, oh God, no man is helping me. God says, I wanted you to be broken with the ideology of trusting in men. When you switch from trusting in men and the impossibilities of men and switch to the possibilities of God, everything else becomes possible. This morning, this afternoon, the possibilities of God are here. Is somebody taking it home? I prophesy the possibilities of God. In the name of Jesus Christ. Receive in the name of Jesus. Hallelujah. That when the possibilities of God start, simple things, but mind-blowing testimonies. Receive in the name of Jesus. Hallelujah. So this thing cannot be cured. He said, don't worry. I have a God that is specialized in that area. Hiya Bohosha. I said, I have a God that is specialized in that area. You have done your best. I don't worry about it because you were placed there by the will of man. Now listen to me carefully. When you tend to the environment, you see a lot of the will of men. When you go to a doctor, it's the will of a man. But when the doctor tells you that this situation, unless something happens, then you about tend to what? The will of God. Now, from the will of man, if you are not careful, you can go to the will of the flesh. You can run around everywhere. Go to places that you are not supposed to go. Just for the will of the flesh. And the flesh will always lead you to Satan because he enmity with God. But when you, from the will of man, you turn direct to the will of God.
And the will of men want to always highlight the will of men. This case, accept a lawyer. It cannot be done. You say, don't worry. When lawyers have done whatever they can and it's still not working, then you see that you turn to the will of God. But when the impossibilities of men are fulfilled, the possibilities of God set in. This afternoon, I don't know the people who want to live by the possibilities of God. Receive in the name of Jesus. Clap your hands and shout glory. Are you hearing me, somebody? Now, there's another kind of act that we do in the church. Seeds, offerings, and tithes. They are all the will of God. They are the act of God. All of them are highlighted everywhere in the Bible. Offerings, seeds, tithes. They are all part of the will of God. Now, so when we talk about the holistic prosperity of a soul or a spiritual being or a Christian, we talk about all these things that I've described as the will of the act of God. They are all part of the act of God. Now, you cannot be doing one and leave the others undone. That's what Jesus said. Justice system is an act of God. The works of righteousness, they are the act of God. When somebody comes to church early and begin to clean, arrange chairs and set up order, all these things that are set up is the act of God. Because an act of service must be done, okay, with submission. It must be a surrendered submission to God. Listen to the word. Submission itself is to submit to the will, but it's a surrendered submission to God. Surrendered. It's like something that it's like a surrendered kind of service to God. It's like a service out of brokenness. You are doing it not for anybody to clap for you. You are doing it not for the pastor to see you. You are doing it not for your leader to see you. You are doing it not for your life center leader to see you. No. You are doing it because it's a surrendered service and it's an act of God from your spirit as your quota to worship God. That's the point. That's why men of God, when you are preaching, you are not preaching and expecting anything in return. You are preaching to the people because it's a surrendered act of God. Preaching, teaching, healing, they are all acts of God. But what causes people to just come and gather together has a price. And you must pay the price. The gift is given to you. But the nurturing of the gift and growing of the gift has a price to pay. It's just like eating. You need to have a lot of hustling. You have to go before people, go to the market, shop, sweat, come back, do a lot of things, prepare food, hours, you're preparing. Some of the fire, some of the vapor, some of the, things will just hit you. Some of, look at the women, you see it. When somebody who doesn't go to the kitchen goes to the kitchen, you'll be bent. When the stew begin to do something, that bubbles, top, and something, hey, welcome me. It's food. Amen? Who killed you? It's food. And when you are done, you eat and you are satisfied. There are many people who go out, struggle and all that, and come and cook. They finish eating and they leave the utensils there, the dishes, they don't wash them. Because when they are finished eating, they are satisfied. The satiation point is done. They are satisfied. But the satisfaction comes when cleanliness comes. When you clean the whole place and tidy the whole place. And then when you look at the place, you say, wow. There are people, they are satisfied when they see filth. When they see filth, everywhere is filth. Everywhere is house flies and cockroaches. They clap their hands and say, wow, I'm making impact. Is that not the case? They are not worried when they see mouse and they see lice and they see house flies, cockroaches in their kitchens. They are happy. When you see them, say, hey, you say, oh, this one is normal, you two are. It's like they are his friends in the house. Friends of cockroaches and house flies. Amen. Please, are you hearing my point? So they are all the act of God. Principles. These are all principles of God. Now, I just want to single out tithes and offerings in our discussions. Because it's the most controversial topic, especially tithes, not the offerings. Tithes. Everybody believes that you must give to God. Sometimes I don't understand people say, for me to come and give to pastors. Now, they are ignorant of how the church runs. Pastors who take offerings from the altar are ignorant themselves. People give gifts to their pastors according to the work of the Lord that you are doing. You don't need to beg anybody. God himself causes people. If you are doing the work of God well, and that is when the Bible says in the scripture, the laborer is worthy of his hire. If a doctor sees people, and by seeing people and doing prescription, he receives something at the end of the day, so also it's not what evil for a pastor who works on the spirit and soul of a man, even sometimes on the bodies of people. Because there are sicknesses in your body that medicine cannot cure, but people receive miracles just by teaching and preaching and declaration of the word of God. And by praying, they receive miracles. A lot of them. If you have not received such, and you have not had such encounter, you shut up, you don't impose your will and your things upon people. Because there is the realm of the will of man. That's not what we are looking at. We appreciate the will of man because to go to school is the will of man. So when somebody, and so that is the supernatural. The will of man is natural. So, but the super one imposes itself upon the natural to make it work upon the earth. So when we come to the earth, you need the super to impose upon the natural to work. So we can have people at two extreme. One spirit, they are spiritual people. Every day they are in the room speaking in tongues. Go and work. You say, oh no, God will send me food in here. When you are a baby Christian, God provides some little stuff for you. But when you are maturing, he begins to teach you a lot of things. To make sure that you have to understand that I made the things of this natural world. For all the things in the natural world came out of what? The spirit. So you need to put the spirit upon the natural order to make what? Essence in this realm of earth. So far as you are born again and put upon this realm of the earth, you must make impact. You cannot go and give tongues to as an alms to somebody who is what? Who is needy. Who is hungry. Who is naked. You must give a substance, something, food, money, something. Now, we don't buy food with what? Tongues. You buy food with what? Yes, money. So, tongues can create money. When you have spoken in tongues for an hour and you step out there to look for money, to work, God makes you do smart work because the Spirit of God does quick work. So, one contract somewhere, fine, then you work. Amen? So, you can get some to give to people and attract God's attention in heaven. Are you hearing my point, somebody? So if you don't balance the work of God, you will teach people for them to be poor and broke. For years, I've not taught you that. I've taught you the supernatural. So the super is God. That is what the Bible says. God says, and this power from on high, this excellency of glory, it lives in what? 18 vessels. It lives in 18 vessels. That means the vessel God picked from the earth and molded. That is when he brings his power to live in. So God does need the earthly process to be able to make meaning to the earth. In any case, when you are supernatural, who are you going to preach to? You are going to preach to natural people for them to also be turned into supernatural. So if you say, I hit the natural order, what you have done, so I don't believe in Christians who say we can't pay tithe. Because you are disputing about the natural order, it means that you cannot put super upon the natural order to make meaning. You cannot do that. So these are the natural things, but you need to observe them, but impose the super upon the natural. Not everybody, when you want a contract, you submit the contract to a process. A Christian must not go through the back door. No, I don't believe in that. Go through the right door is a natural order. By law, it's set up. But put the super upon the natural, you will get the contract. I hope you understand what I'm saying. You put the super upon the natural. So every person blessing upon the earth. We'll prepare the contract, paper, tax clearance, every certificate. They will put everything, their account, their statement of account, their audited account, everything we'll put there, write everything, cover letter, put it on it, you know, and then submit it for bidding. But I believe that there is more to that for a Christian than just submitting it physically. So you just do it, bring it to church, pray on it on your bedroom, gather some seeds, pray on it, believe God, show it. Sometimes there must be some consistency. The contract. We said, we wanted to give you 1 million, but when we look through your papers, like there's some kind of favor talking for you, we will give you $5 million contract. Are you hearing my point? Because God gives exceedingly abundantly above what your mind can ever conceive or think about. Because what is written is this, but God does blow people's mind. A lot of people, when we line a lot of people God has blessed in this country, many of them will tell you it's by God's grace. They don't understand how it happened. Except few of the, you know, politicians that enriched themselves when they became 4 years or 2 years in power. Except some of them. Even them, a lot of them, by God's grace, they are working by the grace of God and receiving. They are not touching the country's money. But a lot of them too are touching the country's money. African politicians are like that. So I want to tell you something. That in tithes and offerings, it is so important in the Bible. We do it also in church. Whether we like it or not, we do it. But sometimes we are afraid to teach about it because of what people will say. But the people are doing it. Aren't you clapping every time in church? Did you know it as an act of God? We must teach it. Aren't you worshiping in church? Do you know it's an act of God? Aren't you praising God in church? Do you know it's an act of God in your bedrooms? And don't you praise God? Don't you pray in your bedrooms and, you know, open and in the field and in the church? You do that. In the churches, you do it. But it's an act of God, an act of faith. It must be taught. The same way you give tithes, you give offerings. But sometimes you don't even know how to do it. So it must be taught. If you are doing it, then do it well and receive what God has said to receive well. Because as for me, as standing here as a prophet and a man of God, I'm a tither. There's nobody who can talk me out of tithe. He has blessed me, I don't receive salary. There's nobody, I don't touch ministry money because he has an administration. It doesn't come to my pocket. And I don't want to even, you know, go there. Because when I compete for this, that means that is my life. And everything that you are giving, the money that is coming, I don't know where it's coming from. But the gift that people will pray and say, I want to connect to the grace upon your life. I say, oh, thank you. God bless you so much. And I go to pray for you. And as I'm interceding, people send me gifts all over the world, everywhere. People send me gifts everywhere, all over the world. Sometimes even the bank complains, it's like, it's too much. Where did you get this money from? Is your money missing? It's by the work of the Lord. I send people to the bank, say, every time you come to the bank, listen, I am not lazying about. You see me, I work. And I work smart and hard. Amen? I don't rest. Amen? Hallelujah. And I'm not working because of money, no. But God does show appreciation to his servants. And every rational human being who is rational is sensible. And they know that the laborer is worthy of his hire. So anybody, you know, it's an offense to the earth and the natural order when you deny a man of his hire, of his wages. The one who works is the one who is what? Rewarded. If you don't solve human problems, you are not rewarded. Every time I'm praying for people, interceding for people, that things will go well, interceding for the nation, the government. That's how I got to know that from next year, 6 months down next year, things will start picking up higher for this government and the nation. I knew it. I saw it. I was walking through the people and I was seeing that, wow, God has started blessing this nation. And I saw that getting to the 3 years, 4 year period of this presidency, that is when Ghanaians will begin to feel easy and all that, right? They will see prosperity a little bit. Before maybe there is something that will happen. Amen. Hallelujah. Are you hearing my point, somebody? Because we are interceding, our Father, forgive this nation. We have erred. We have erred. Forgive us. Put us on the right path, Lord. We disobeyed your word. But forgive us and align us. And as we are interceding like that, there are people closer to God. God will hear it. Amen. These fingers, they are not equal. God intentionally made them like that. Even your family, among your brethren, you are not equal. There are people God has blessed more than others in the family. There are people in the family, they expect to be blessed, but they are lazy. How can they? You yourself, you know that when these people are blessed, like they've treated nature, or there's something questionable about nature, don't you talk about it? Because they are so lazy. Why, when it comes to men of God, you have indifference about them? That they must not receive their wages. They've not received their reward. Even when their reward is not coming from you, but coming from God. I'm going to show you from biblical account what it is and what it means to give offering and to give tithe. Now, when the same way I teach people about how to pray, that is the topic prayer is a principle and act of faith. So it is good to know how to pray. It's good to pray that, prayer. Then he says, a lot of people quoted some things. And when you read a lot of Christian books, you say the best way to learn how to pray is to pray. Now, the best way to learn how to pray is to study how to pray. If you have not studied how to pray, there are a lot of people who have prayed, but the prayer didn't go to heaven. It resides with them. But when you ask them, say, I've been praying for years, but did God hear the prayer? Did he hear it? Anything God hears, he answers. The benevolence of God. Haven't you read that? He upbraided what? Not. But you must ask of it. So there is a modality set up. There is a manner. The mannerism of prayer. There is a way to pray and receive answers. So when you say, the best way to learn prayer is pray. And somebody start praying, higher, but the devil, the devil. And the people think they are praying. When you are saying the devil, die. You are not praying. You are not praying. You are decreeing by the authority of the Lord Jesus upon your life with his name. Against the devil upon the earth. It doesn't get to God. Angels have been positioned to help you in that regard. So what they hear you declare, they enforce it. The word of God is positioned in such a way that it is spirit. The words I speak to, they are spirit and they are life. The Bible says the word of God is sharper than any two-edged sword. So when you declare where the word goes to the intention, the reason why you spoke it, where it goes there and works. You don't need God physically coming from the air to do anything. That's what it means. So you are using your authority as a believer and your authority in the name of Jesus. The authority you have in the name of Jesus. So you decree and declare, there's devil die, devil, they say, we prayed. You didn't pray. It's a prayer of declaration based on the earthworm. It is only marked by angels because you don't need God's approval because he said the devil should die. You didn't say, God, I pray you come and kill the devil for me. That prayer too will not be answered. Because God has given you knowledge about how the devil will be disciplined. He said, he that is born of God keepeth himself, and the wicked one touches him not. So the reason why the devil is touching you is because you didn't keep yourself. The scripture be true. Every man a liar. Simple. Am I talking to somebody here? Good. So if you want to know how to tithe and receive the windows of heaven, it must be learned, you must be studied out. You must understand it first. Is there a principle for Christians? How do I do it? Is there a principle I can do it under the dispensation of the gospel of Jesus? How do I do it? How do I do it by faith and get the blessing? Period. Abraham is your father of faith. Abraham is our father. Hey, I'm Abraham's seed. You confess that. But when it comes to what Abraham did, that one you put it out. Is it not hypocrisy of the highest order in the word of God? Christian, don't we confess? I'm Abraham's seed. Oh, please talk to me. Don't you confess? Say, I'm Abraham's seed. The book of Galatians chapter 3 has highlighted there that we are Abraham's seed. And the gospel has come to the Gentiles because of what? Abraham. Because God preached the gospel. The Bible said the gospel we are preaching today, God preached the gospel to Abraham. So when God preached the gospel to Abraham, the Bible says we should be a doer of the gospel. If God preached the gospel to Abraham, then whatever Abraham did was the gospel. So let me go to Abraham's life and see what Abraham did. Was Abraham blessed? Yes, the Bible says he was blessed. Was Abraham following the gospel? Yes, because the Bible says God himself is the first preacher of the gospel. He preached the gospel to Abraham. The first man to receive the gospel was Abraham. God preached the gospel to him, that in you all the nations of the world will be blessed by the seed. So Abraham also believed and began to do things the seed would command for us to do. So Abraham began to do it. So Abraham, the Bible says that when you hear the gospel, you are a doer. Abraham also became a doer of the gospel. So Abraham walked by faith, and Abraham became a righteous man because it was credited unto his account. The Bible says that Abraham walked with God, and Abraham, whatever Abraham did was accounted unto him for righteousness. Abraham paid tithe also. Abraham prayed. Abraham erected altar. We can preach and believe in altar. Nobody speaks against altar because it's directly linked to their liberation, so they don't talk about it. But when it comes to tithe, that seems to bless a man over the other one that gives. That is the perception of the will of men. They think that when you give tithe, you are empowering and enriching someone, but you yourself, you are poor. No, God's kingdom doesn't work like that. He said it is more blessed to give than to what? Receive. That means the person who is giving must be more blessed than the person who is what? Receiving. That's the order. And I have given a lot. I can vividly say that I'm blessed more than where I give and wherever I give. That is the blessing of the Lord, spiritually and physically. Now, if you have been given and there's no blessing, then maybe you are not doing it right. The manner is wrong. The motive is right, but the manner is wrong. Sometimes the motive is wrong, the manner is wrong, but the principle is correct. So you heard it from the Bible, you want to do it, but you're not doing it well. The mannerism of it, the operation is wrong. So don't you think we must teach you? Don't you think somebody must understand and catch the revelation of God and teach the church so that the church will walk worthy of that reward from God? If you believe, you shout, I believe. And I receive. Do you receive? Clap your hands and appreciate Jesus. Remember, clapping is an act of God. Hallelujah. So I'm not saying clapping is an act of God. So clapping against the devil, I'm not saying that. He said we clap to praise God. Amen. That is why listen, before I teach you and touch on subjects, don't you think I'm just talking like that too? Sometimes people are preaching and say, reciting scriptures. Sure. You don't know. If it was easy like that, you'd be giving this revelation to people. Reciting scripture. Everybody can study the word of God and recite scriptures. It's about the know-how of the Bible, the word. The scriptures you are talking to, the know-how of it. The exegesis of it. It's not just talking scripture. There's no man from the Lord who preached the gospel without quoting scriptures and, you know, highlighting scriptures. You have held the microphone and lied to people. So we came to point scriptures to the people that right now, when people are preaching, please check the scripture, mark them scripture for scripture, so they don't deceive you. So we are opening the people's eyes. I'm opening up your eyes, amen. Oh, I'm opening up your spirit, amen. Now you have become vigilant. Now this country, people are now, hey, if you like, bring it all. Shaka pataka. Then people were just speaking their minds. And say, because I'm a man of God, when I speak my mind, take it. And people were running their lives with the minds of people and were failing. Thanks be unto God that we came. I said, thanks be unto God that the Lord sent us. We will not agree. It has to be by scripture or what? Nothing. So we use scripture to understand what? Scriptures, to explain scriptures. Otherwise, every man, any canal will pick up a microphone and say, I'm sent. And begin to preach their mindset and that's it. And people will take it as scriptures. No. God gave us the standard. The standard of our Christianity is the word of God. Are you hearing my point? It is by the word or nothing else. Are we good? It's not about names. It's not about positions. It's not about recognitions. Amen? Paul said, even if angels come to speak to you otherwise of the things we have taught you by the Spirit, please let them be accursed. Have them. Curse them. Be accursed. That's what the Bible said. He said, even angels who are closer in the Spirit because of their makeup. Because unless finally Jesus picks us up, then we'll be more closer than the angels. I'm talking about in terms of proximity. Physically. Or operations of faith. Because angels were not giving the gospel. When they were giving the gospel and an angel appears and speaks something to you, immediately it happens. Because they have the faith of the Holy Ghost in them were absolute. But we, because of our makeup and the earthworm that we are born to, we need to what? We need to struggle to study the word and understand the word. And the word is competing with all the kind of the words of the flesh, the words of the devil, and the words of the will of men. Competing with that, and you must be able to discern to know which one is the voice of God. But the Bible says if a man doesn't err in word, the man is perfect. But we have a lot of people who have preached the gospel and they've erred in the word. And they're still defending what they heard about. That means, one, they are not humble. They are not. You preach your mind. It's wrong. It's not scripture. We see the scripture and say, this one is not in the Bible. Which you have made people to believe. And the people have prayed 19 kojohoho without nothing to show. No results. No fire. We must teach them the correct ones. Are you hearing my point, somebody? I speak in Jesus' name. That the revealer of secrets is revealing himself to you. Your amen. You are promoted by the power of the Holy Ghost. You are blessed by the power of the Holy Ghost. In the name of Jesus. Clap your hands and receive. So all these things. Fasting is an act of God. Say fasting. So fasting too is an act of God. So when you want to fast, we must teach you how to fast. Kinds of fasting or types of fasting to do. How to break the fast. How to fast effectively and efficiently. Aren't we supposed to do that? We are supposed to do it. Now, all these enumerated acts of God and acts of faith and principles, these are all an act of faith. When it is an act of faith, then it's an act of the Spirit. Because it's by the if it is of faith, then it's what? By the Spirit. The Bible says, if it is of faith, then it is what? By the Spirit. If it is not by faith, then it's not by the Spirit. Are you hearing my point? So if it's an act of faith, then it's an act of the Spirit. Which Spirit am I talking about? The Spirit of God. Am I revealing something to people here? Listen to it. Govern your church by the principles of the Word of God. Now, all these principles I've said, if you believe in one because of your own admonition or your own revelation and discard the rest, will God clap for you? Will God be offended because of that? You're on the earthworm, you have chosen that. As for me, I'll only pray. I don't even believe in fasting. That's your own cup of tea. He said, as for me, I will only, and I wonder the people today that don't believe in the Holy Ghost, yet they pray. Who are you praying to? Who is carrying your prayer? Like, you understand? Who is transporting your prayer through the realms to God? Because you don't believe in the Holy Spirit. You don't pray by the Holy Spirit. Logically, they must sit and analyze themselves. There are people too, they believe in prayer to the extreme. Fasting to the extreme, they don't believe in the kindness of God. Alms, givings, tithings, they don't believe that. And I'm like, oh God, I've served you for 30 years, no blessing. You know, when you are born in a certain place, a certain deprived place, okay, because of the depravity, you might think that poverty is a culture, is a way of life. You know? Culture is a way of people, right? The language of people, the customs of the people, yeah? Beliefs of the people, and the actions of the people. They are all part. The way they dress, the way they cut their hair. So, sometimes when you go to abroad, you think, well, because you are found in US, UK, Germany and all that, you might think Australia, you might think that their prosperity is their culture. When you come there to the base and you go to the farms, if you are not careful, poverty is a way of life. And so, when you go to the US and they are preaching the gospel, and they are preaching the gospel of prosperity, your perspective of prosperity will be different. Even though you are an African that you have trouble there. When you come to Ghana, we are preaching prosperity, your perspective on it will be different. So you see, are there variations in the gospel of Jesus? Everywhere you go, it must be equal. Why do we believe that the Christians in the US must be rich? They must stand on huge platforms. But when you are preaching it for the people of God, it's wrong. So you see, a lot of people, they don't believe in our men of God. They believe in the US men of God. But the US men of God, they salute us. Are you? You don't understand. You don't get it. You will get it later. Are you hearing my point? Because when you are living here downtown, you think that poverty is a way of life. And that you were ordained for it. In actual fact, you were born. The day you were born again, you were born into poverty. So, if you are a Christian and you are prosperous, and you are preaching and teaching people principles of the word of God so that they can prosper, everybody will say, prosperity preachers, prosperity preachers. So there's a tag. Everybody doesn't want us to tag their prosperity. Yet, all of us want to queue, get business, and go abroad. What if we preach the gospel, train everybody to be prosperous in this country, and make this country twice US, so that they can also come here? What is that to you? Why are we our own enemies? And sometimes it's not your unbelievers, it's believers. Ballistic missiles in the churches. And they throw bombs. Boom. Sometimes when you're preaching on online, people will be typing one message, prosperity preacher. You continue to type until you get support. You are cursed. You think God will come from heaven and shift to your defense? Check the Bible, ignorant people, and see the people God worked with. Abraham was broke and poor. God raised him up before God said, you are my friend. Even when God wanted to have a covenant, he said, I've changed your name from Abraham to Abraham. Abraham, what is the meaning of it? And what is the meaning of Abraham? Abraham means father of many nations. A father of many nations. Must he be poor? You are joking. So the God you think you are defending is a God of prosperity. He's made us understand the book of Revelation that his streets are made of gold. His water is a crystal water. And then even the high priest going before God, he wears clothing, garment that has pearls and gold in it. Precious minerals, pearls, difficult to find, difficult to come by. That is what is in his temple. When you read the scriptures, you see that when you go before God, the altar of God is pure gold. The message is pure. The symbolism of the two cherubs, they are made of pure gold. Aren't you blessed to receive this word? And the people want to preach this gospel, this God, they must be broke and poor. How can you define what gold and how gold is when you are broke, when you are so poor? Have you seen poor people who are controlling gold before? No. They don't have a use of it. That is why when you are so poor, you sit on gold. Somebody who is rich must come and take the gold and go and refine it and make jewelry of it and bring it to you to sell to you so that you buy it in what? Very expensive. You say you don't have money, but you buy jewels very expensive. Is it not stupidity? We must change our mindset. Listen, only change people can change this world. Only change people can change our society. Only change people can change our economy. You are not understanding me, somebody. When you are entrusting your life to somebody who is not changed, the same thing will happen. So poverty is inevitable to somebody who is not changed. Do you know that in families, sometimes when you get blessed, the family will fight you because you are blessed. It's sickness unless we change it from the family settings. Are you hearing me, somebody? Do you know that when you go abroad, and they see convoy coming, It's an offense. It's a treasonable offense to cross a convoy. To even have the idea and the ideology of crossing a convoy is a very big thing. Now, we brought the idea of presidency in Ghana. We vote for our president and our elected officials, MPs and all that. I believe that because of by their virtue or their nature of work, when they are coming, we must allow them to come so that they can make laws for us so that the country can move forward quickly. If they are in traffic and they are being delayed, the parliament process will be delayed. The president may be seeing people who are investors who are coming to do investment in this country. So if we block the vice president and the president from going to, you know, to from being smart and quick in their work, okay, in their work and all that, it will affect the nation. This is directly, you know, affecting the nation. That's what I'm talking about. Now, do you see the people of Ghana or the people of Africans? When we see them coming, like convoy, motorcade coming, that's where somebody decides, I will drive into the middle of the road. You know, it's poverty-stricken mentality. He has identity crisis problem. He thinks we are equal. Yes, we are equal as a human being. By virtue of the office that we ourselves have put him, it makes him different. The office is different, but the human being is the same. So by virtue of that office, we must respect that office. That's spirit. What's wrong with us? A Christian too, sometimes somebody is a Christian. You are being wicked, heartless. How many of us that our father will be elected to be a vice president or a president and will not appreciate it? We should stop the hypocrisy. We should stop the hypocrisy. Sometimes a high official from another country has come to our country. And they are escorting him. And people will block the road. They will not allow him to come. It doesn't send a good signal to the people there. Yet when we take our utensils, we go there to borrow. And they willingly give us. It's a blessing when you borrow and somebody gives you. How many people will go to the bank every day just to borrow money to start something? It's a blessing when you want to borrow him, somebody who will offer you the money, offers you the money. You are happy. You say, thank God. You say, thank you. God bless you. Because you're going to even pay back, but you still thank him. We should stop it. You see, I believe that we should start educating the people. The reason why we are like that is because we don't have a budget for educating Ghanaians. Everybody who must acquire a license must learn about the respect for motorcade. When you see abroad, even when animals are passing through, they stop for them to pass. Nobody stops anybody. No policeman there. It's wisdom to stop. Unless we begin to appreciate nature and the order that God has instituted in nature, we will not get anything. The reason why somebody may condemn something is not because of anything. He has no learning. He doesn't have in-depth knowledge in it. Just because he sees it. It's like our IQ level. What is wrong with us? Is that the issue? When we are here, we will fight every order. But when we travel abroad, because when there you fight it, you are arrested, you go to jail. You will cry and cry, nobody will mind you. They don't listen to tears. Is this place that when somebody begins to cry, oh my uncle, then so we are just standing outside the laws. Sometimes you have enacted the law. The one who is enforcing the law is even breaking the law to enforce it. It's wrong. It's wrong. You cannot break the law to enforce the law. The taxman cannot break tax laws to be able to enforce tax laws. It doesn't work. How is it that in this country, when you are sending money from abroad to the country, we stop it? But when you are sending money from the country to outside, we don't stop it. It's sickening, you know. There's no nation who does that. When money is coming into the system, because it's creativity, the skill of the people in your country that invite foreign exchange, foreign money. When it's coming, we don't stop it. We don't stop it. You don't. When they are legal documents and things, you don't stop it. Maybe some of them, they don't care where you get your money from. Right now, when you have money, you can go to any place, Canada, anywhere, and you have the money to invest in the country, they will just receive you. They will not come and investigate in the country where the money is coming from, whether it is legitimate or not. They don't care. I'm not here to propagate illegality. No. What I'm saying is that you cannot enforce something by breaking the law. People's money coming to the country and then you know it doesn't have any, you know, I say go to Bank of Ghana, go to your life. He are tossing you until then, you know, you give up on. It's happening. And people are grieved. The country can't prosper unless we stop it. So the people we are put in charge, they must change their attitude. Change their character. Every time they think it's only men of God who are doing something evil. What evil have we done? I'm not speaking for anybody. I'm not speaking for anybody. He who is preaching equity must come clean. You must come with clean hands. You are demanding somebody do right, but you are doing wrong to correct the right. To correct the wrong. It's wrong. And we must address things and cause spade. We must stop the hypocrisy. That is not my message for today. But sometimes when I'm studying and I see things around, I say, wow, do we want to build a nation? Now, do you know what it takes to build a nation? We must all study how to build nations. We build nations strategically. Like, sometimes I don't understand. Let me give you a small analogy here. Thank you, Father. Wave your hand to the Spirit. Can I teach you something? Who is a real estate developer here who wants to go into real estate development? I'm giving you free counsel. Now, the majority of Ghanaians are absorbed by the private sector and the government sector, I believe, public service. I don't know the figures for now. I don't have it offhand, but I have it written because it changes at will. And I don't even think that we have a proper data collection methodology. It's there, but we don't have what it takes to embark on that. When we were about to register, do the Ghana card, I foresaw the problems and I told you some of them. I foresaw the problems. When we want to do something, we just started then dry. In Kufuor's, President Kufuor's time, we did it. We spent money. It amounted to nothing. Who has the Kufuor's card? Didn't we spend money? Okay. Who approved the money? Listen, any nation or any system or any family unit or any organization that is not accountable to itself, it doesn't demand accountability. You will not go far. You will not go anywhere. You will swim and live in debt. I'm telling you the truth. Many people are angry when you demand accountability from them. It's wrong. I set up my company, I employ you, and I'm demanding accountability and you're angry with me. Like, anybody who is not accountable cannot live with God. Because if you call yourself a Christian and you are not accountable to yourself and to God and to the system you are working for, you can walk with God. You cannot go with God. The Bible says, He's giving us graces. He's giving us talents and giftings. He doesn't interfere. At the end of the age, He will come back and will render account to the one who gave us the talent or the giftings or the abilities. Now, do you know what He expects? He expects the profit of the talent and the talent itself. So the one who received one talent and dug the ground and hid it, Jesus said, the master said, let the one who I gave one talent come with his talent and bring the profit. The man came and said, this is your talent. Take it back. But for the profit, I dug the ground and hid it there because I know you are wicked. I said, you should have also known that I will throw you into jail. Into outer darkness. It's a permanent jail that the devil is. He threw him into the outer darkness. It's the same thing that will happen to a lot of people who are not accountable with the gift and the graces God has given them. You think because you are ordained a man of God, you should do what you like. Say what you like. Oppose anything you want. Treat the people of God anyhow you like. That is not... Read the word. There were people died and they were carried into hell. There were people died on the earth, they were carried to Abraham's bosom. Read the word. You see, people say, I will make heaven. Yet he's swimming and dining in corruption. And his mindset is that I will do this corruption on my sickbed. I will repent. God will not give you such an opportunity. You don't know whether you die by accident or you die impromptu or heart attack. There will not be you. When you are dying by heart attack, the only language you know is, I say, you cannot receive anything. The rest is what? In the mortuary. Repent now as you hear the word of the Lord. Change your mind. If you are a Christian and you are doing such things, change your mind. Repent. You are born again, all right, but you are corrupt. The reason why God destroyed, you know, the whole earth when Noah found favor with God. Read the scripture, the book of Genesis chapter 6. He says, now, and the wickedness of God, he said, men have filled the earth with violence. He says, the thoughts were continuously what? Wicked. The thought of man. Not even doing it, the thought. Read it, you will understand it. And that is what made God destroy the earth. As for us, it's not only the thought, we are doing it. Aren't we doing it? You go to hospitals, it's there. Nurses who are employed to be on salary are selling the basic things that the poor people need. We are, our ID card system or national health system is not working. What the people are broke so much that people don't, they are becoming sensitive. These are demons. Sometimes you are a human being, you are doing something, and then you don't feel remorse. You become a demon. It's only demons who don't feel remorse about some things. And nobody's talking about it. We just see it. Because as I come to you, you do me. When you come to my office, I do you. Where are we going? But when it's Sunday, we dress well, go and sit in church. Hallelujah. Hey, stop that. Stop it. God has placed upon us responsibilities. We must be accountable. Anybody that God has placed on you responsibilities must also be accountable. Responsibilities and accountability, they go together. You can't be a responsible person without being accountable. Who are you accountable to? And if you don't respect the people you are accountable to, what happens? You think you can go scot-free with it, but nature will catch you. God will catch you. I'm telling you as it is. As for me, I know a lot of things by the Spirit. That is why I don't even rush for anybody's tithe. When you come to this ministry, nobody will mention pay tithe to you. Nobody. Do we chase anybody for tithe? Do we put any basket in front? All those tithers come and stand here. We are praying for you so that the ones who are not paying, they will feel guilty. Nobody does that. If you pay a tithe, pay it. If you don't pay it, stop it. It's nobody's business. Are you hearing my point, somebody? Thank you, Father. And I'm not the type of man of God that moves from house to house. You will not find me there. I will not do it. Listen, it doesn't matter any scripture you want to use to compare me. I will not. It's the work of pastors. They can do it. I'm a prophet. Do you know who a prophet is? They stay on the mountain with the Lord and receive words from God and come and tell the people. If I start visiting you every day, when will I get time to go and pray and hear from God and tell you? You will be here and a storm will come and wipe all of you out. I must be on the mountain beholding the face of God. I can get the word and come and tell you that this is my ask for this. And when you go, they don't visit you. Please. We have structures in the church. Apostle is there. You can call him. They are men of God. He can send pastors to bless you. Don't think they send pastors to come and bless you? Yes. When I was sent, God told me, don't watch people's faces. Don't watch people's faces. That means you see that I'm wearing a sheep clothing. And I come to your house and I do myself. Oh, thank God. Oh, Mrs. Oh, thank God. Thank God. Oh, you see, your husband doesn't like me. We'll frown your face. What's your prophet doing here? And then, let me see you. Why did your prophet come here? And my visit will turn a conflict between you and your husband. I'm coming. I say, I'm coming. Maro Shata. I'm not. When the Lord wants me to visit somebody, he will speak to me from the mountain that I want you to visit somebody. I will go. I will go. I'm not coming to the church because you didn't visit me. Hey. Then when it comes to heaven, I'm not taking to you to heaven because I didn't visit you. So you will tell the Lord that I'm not coming to heaven because you didn't visit me. Okay. Be there, there, there. Who loses? Amen. Are you hearing my point, somebody? Many people have done that house to house and has brought a lot of issues. I'm speaking from experience. I'm speaking from experience. I sent one of my people some time ago, and that is a place that the lady said she was on fire, so she must sleep with the man of God in her room. From that day, I repented of that. I'm not sending anybody to anywhere. Are you hearing me? Yes. Oh, yes. Otiwa Repu. I don't know about it. Clap your hands, clap your hands. You see, man of God, you go. Now I'm a man of God. And as you are going, you are alone, no? Yeah, nobody's with you. You are alone, no? It's not the way I'm carrying my Bible and oil. Look at you. A whole King David was delivered by a woman. Yeah, I'm carrying oil and Bible. Please, are you hearing my point? Women always forget themselves sometimes. So when they're in the house, they feel free. They feel free. Sometimes when we are doing Zoom, you have to be careful the way you come on your Zoom with your things. Is that somebody, this video is on, and he's just there and dozing off, and then some, maybe the nightwear. Don't wear nightwear, wear something, wear t-shirts. Amen? This Zoom thing that has come to us, come on. I was watching a man of God prophesy to somebody on Zoom. And the lady was jumping like this. And she was wearing only a nightwear. No bra. And you could see everything. Transparent. So I just turned the thing off. And she was like, hey, I'm in sleep. He's through. Hey. Excitement reveals everything. And I'm sure they were telling everything. They blanked the thing. You don't want any temptation here. The Bible says God doesn't tempt anybody. God doesn't want. So it's the ideology of men to tempt people and the devil. So when you are going before God, dress well. The Holy Ghost is there. When you are praying alone in your room, you can be naked and pray. I don't care about it. But when you are going before God, where everybody is coming, please dress well. Cover yourself. Amen. Sometimes the Zoom, you see, people are wearing something, you know, and so when they do this, don't. It's for you and your man only. Amen. Nobody wants to see it. Don't show anybody. It's not like they're deliberate. They forget themselves. Sometimes when a woman gives birth to one, two, the rest is history. But constant teaching will help. Clap your hands and appreciate Jesus. Somebody will say, this prophet, has he seen something? I've not seen anything. I'm just advising you. Amen. I say, I'm just what? Yes. I was hearing on social media, a pastor was saying that people could just walk to his office and say, Pastor, I want only one. What do you want one? He says, I want to have you one. Didn't you hear it? There's a pastor, he was vocal on it. He was speaking about it. Say, Pastor, when I see you, my something come. Abba! Oh, yes. I have a prophet friend. Ladies can walk to him and tell him, point blank. He came to do a program. He was doing judgment, counseling. Ladies walked to him and told him about three ladies. Who he said. Me peo. No, see, oh, my worry. Oh, see, oh, me can't wait out him. You see, me peo. It happens. My son told me he went to preach somewhere. I had a vision. I called him. I said, Kweku, be careful, oh. He said, Papa, it's true, oh. Me, I'm careful. I said, when you are preaching, lift up your ring. In Jesus' name, let me bless you. But the point is that today people don't care about this. So when you are preaching intention, the reason some men of God, they will mention their wife's name three times in a service, four times, five times, is because they want the people to know that, my wife is standing by my side. They are afraid. So you see the prayer, he's prayed for 15 years, no manifestation, because he goes from house to house. Then sermonettes the guy has been doing. My husband has been telling me, come and comfort me. Am I a comforter? When you look on your bed, there's a comforter on your bed. I can only comfort you on phone or church. I teach you, you take it. Amen. Beyond here, there's no comfort. Amen. My husband has slapped me. Pastor, can you imagine? I said, oh. Don't worry. It's not supposed to be. But see, a lot of husbands have slapped a lot of wives. They said, let me counsel you. Don't worry. He has slapped you once. I will advise him. And you too, you went to marry a man who can't submit to anybody. So when he slaps you, his father can't talk to him, his mother can't talk to him, his master can't talk. Nobody can talk. He said, oh, Nyami no man, Nyami no ji. Nyami di amma, wait until Nyami yuji. Amen. Oh, am I talking to somebody? Oh, amen. Some ladies who say, the way I was discriminated upon, even because the way women were speaking, I dare not. I never went to even tell what this one. Please, I want to date you. Date you for what? Because I know my size. You say, sometimes some kind of, I want a guy who is muscled, six pack, and he's thick tall. Then you walk out. Oh, what are you standing there for? Aren't you hearing what they are saying? I want a man who is thick, tall, stout. Bema wa bo. Not dreaming, not in our boom. So when he's angry, he doesn't think. He lifts his hand. Pa! What? Not dreaming, no. They were saying, and your pastor too. Imagine between me and your husband, we are two different people. I am cute, your husband is thick and tall. Wabo wa suma, me cute and when me na me pata. Pata, look at my cheeks. Oh, sister, oh, your husband did that. Oh, I can only, Father, in Jesus' name, help her. When she's on her comfort, let her comfort her. Thank you, that's what I can do. How can you be someone comforting somebody's wife or somebody's daughter? Amen. I'm not only talking about somebody's wife. The other young ladies too, who are past their flower age. When you're not careful, that's what somebody said. He has something came. Please. Today, house-to-house evangelism is dangerous. Because today, people don't even live in the house. They are busy. The internet is there. The WhatsApp and all that. You can do evangelism on it. Now today, the cities are cosmopolitan, diverse. Where are you going from house to house? Where? One live here, one live somewhere there. Is there unless you're giving us budgets. No, that's why we are establishing cells and all that. People can convert together. Brother, I'm telling you, don't trade your life. When a sister or a brother gives you lift, when you get your junction, drop off.
Say thank you. Oni yaminko, yamini ontina, bye bye. You want the sister to say, oh, you will not look at my house. This is my house. Oh, you will not come inside. Hey, you will not sit down. You will not drink water. It's a gradual process. After what are you doing like juice? Oh, I even grew some shoe before I left. Man, be like Joseph. Sprint. I say what? Do you know sprint? It's a great thing to run. Sprint. Disappear from there. Amen. Hallelujah. She's trying to make you hers. That's it. Sister, a brother gave you a lift. He said, my house is just here. Can I drop? Can I just let me look at something before I drop? He said, no, no, no. You just drop me here. I can see my way out. I'm telling you the truth. Today is by grace of God. Not many women can do what Jacob and his wife did. Where Jacob's wife will say, this is my maid. God wants you to give birth to more children. So just have her. Which lady can do it here? Lift up your hands. Let me bless you. Oh, let me bless you if you can do it. Even people are past 50, they can't do it. How much more 25? I didn't ask for men. I said women. My friend, as you are lifting up your hands, are you a woman? Who can do that? Which woman can do that? Papa Jacob. Is he not even to fulfill the purpose of God? But do you know it's still in our dispensation? Yes. Will Elijah come back again? Has he come back again? Did widows feed Elijah? Go and see Elijah. Who is feeding them? As it was in the days of, so shall it be in our days, Noah. There's no new thing under the sun. The Bible said. The Bible has prophesied in the book of Isaiah. 7 women will tell one man, put your name on us. Put your name on us. Marry us. It's not illegal. Marriage. Oh, the Lord himself said it. In our generation. We will take care of ourselves, buy our own food. We just want the recognition that we are married. Have you seen that your hand is there? You can't do it. Yet the prophecy is there. Have you read it? When you go, please, acquaint yourself with the prophecy. It will be war. Who can do it? For the blessing of God. Or to fulfill purpose. God says, my daughter, it is me. Who can act as Mary small? Mary, mother of Jesus. You have your husband. And then you heard the Holy Spirit say, I've come to impregnate you. Please, who can do it? Lift up your hands. Which man can do that? Lift up your hands. The man who can do it? The Lord says that I'm taking your wife's womb for a whole year. And you must not get closer to her. A whole year. Who can do it? To fulfill righteousness. Hey! Listen, clap for the old people. I said clap for the old people. Clap and praise God for the old people. Hey! Jesus, you have seen it all. Saved by grace. That is what the Bible says. We are saved by grace. That's why he says, if God doesn't call you, if he doesn't make it happen, and everything is by grace. So sometimes when we read stories, and we begin to blame them. Leah didn't do well. Rachel didn't do well. Hey, shut up. You can't do it. Shut up. Sometimes you see people healing people, delivering people, helping people. Say he's fake. You, that's your original. What have you done? Please, original, shut up and do your own. So, you that you're original, you are so fake. Do you know how we know fake from original? The original people do it. Fake people talk, they don't do. That's the difference. The Bible says Jesus Christ was anointed of the Holy Ghost and with power, who went about doing and healing them all that were. For God was. So God is with people who do good, who pray for people, who heal people, who deliver people, who lead many into Jesus Christ, the salvation. Are you hearing my point? You can either lead people to salvation by evangelism, or use healing as evangelism. Sometimes you are a healing evangelist. You go to a town, people will gather, you heal them, they come to Christ. Sometimes when people are healed, that's when it draws their household to come to Christ. Haven't you seen some before? So God has several ways of doing things. It's not by your own way. You don't determine the way of heaven. The way is Jesus. Say Jesus. Sometimes it's funny how people think. Yeah, my man of God, I've been around for a long time. Who authenticated you? He said, who ordained you? Who introduces you? God. You are boasting about a man's introduction? You don't want God to introduce you? That statement is bogus and nonsense. If you see somebody who has written it right down, that is who introduces you. It's better for God to introduce you than a man. Peter said, who must we listen to? Man or God? It has become the will of men. So if I don't identify myself with this, then who introduces me? You that you are you talking about, who introduces you? You mention a man's name. Who introduced that man? Look at them. Amen. Who introduced Jesus? They said John the Baptist. Did John the Baptist introduce Jesus? Even John the Baptist said, hey, I can't do it. He says, it behoves on us to fulfill righteousness. Do it. It was just baptism. There was no introduction. There was no, this is my son. He didn't do that. Did he do that? And I said, this is my son. I want you to listen to him as you trust me. A German can't kindly ask any man. All those things are proud. Proud things. If you don't say this is your son, that means he can't preach. My spiritual son came to me yesterday and he called the people they hosted him. I said, even today I'm continuing. I was thanking the people who hosted him and gave their pulpit to him to preach. I was thanking them. God bless you so much. Thank you. God bless you. And I began to bless them. And they were receiving. So I have not fathered them. They were calling me Papa. I was not excited about it because it's just a name. And when I write my name, Papa is not part. Amen. So if you think you can go and use Papa to intimidate me and deceive me, it will not work because my name on the bank is John Anochi. Period. Is that not the case? When you write Papa there, the bank will say no, it's not his name. They will not deny. So why carry this mindset? Unless I introduce you, you can't preach. Take your introduction to somewhere else. Are you hearing my point, somebody? There are things we have practiced that has not brought us anything, no value. It hasn't brought us, it hasn't repented the people. He said, when you speak like that, you are not humble. This is humbling. Because people have become prideful. I see somebody who holds in a lot of phones, and two people are, you know, I am a man of God. Sometimes I'm even ashamed to call myself a man of God, though. Because the way people have messed up, if you get to a place and say, oh, I'm a pastor, you are in trouble. Me, everywhere I go, I say, I'm a John Anoche. You ask all the people that I go to, they hear me, they see me on TV. You ask me, are you there? I say, ah, this is my brother. As I'm saying, I'm saying this, if they people will see that I'm. So please, edit this out. I've gone to a place where they fought and say, you are you. I say, ah, you're poor, you're like, have we seen you on TV? I say, it's not me. It's my brother. We are twins. Yeah, John, I'm not John. We are twin. Yes. And I thank God we are twin. Aren't we twin? So I'm not lying. I'm telling you as it is. It depends on where you are coming from. I'm coming from the spiritual perspective. I stand on the same platform with my twin. I've not lied. I'm telling you the truth. Just that you are by the will of man. I'm the will of God. Amen. My understanding is spiritual. Understanding is what? Physical. Understand and balance it. Amen. Am I talking to somebody here? Clap your hands and shout amen here. You go to a place, you not hear this Papa and Papa thing. I know you call me that. You can call me whatever you want to call me. I will not dispute it, but it doesn't get to my head. I've gone to ministries and I've studied from ministries where nobody called anybody papa. They just called pastor. And the grace and the power and the people. My goodness. If this papa thing cannot translate into healing and the people there are sick. Degenerative diseases everywhere. Cancer everywhere. What is the use of the name? When you mention somebody's name, things happen. Who is mentioning Jesus' name and say, Papa Jesus, before it happens? In the name of Jesus. It happens. Don't you see? Please, can't you see? Jesus would have said, how dare you? Would you pray anyway? So, Papa, show. You call people, you don't have the prophet. You can say, oh, Pastor, this is, I'm a prophet. Hey, prophet, take your time. Nobody's competing with you for your title. I thought it was an office. I didn't know it was a title. Somebody gave you the title, prophet. It's somebody who gave you God. It's not you yourself. Did you ordain yourself a prophet? He said, who called you? I was called by my father. Who ordained you? I was ordained by my father. He said, not of the will of man, but of the will of... That's what I'm... But I have a father. Now I submit to and I respect him too. But you see... I have not seen that pride with him. When I'm even talking like this, he's watching. He doesn't feel anything because he knows he's not like that. And this thing must not get into my head. I know I'm your man of God. If I'm not a man of God to others, at least I'm your man of God. That's what people refuse to understand. You can't come from your church into another man of God and say, I'm a man of God here in your church. We will bind you hand and foot and throw you out. I can't go somewhere and say, so me, wherever I go, wherever you put me, I sit. I don't care. It's a privilege for you to put me somewhere. It's the presence of God that matters. Who are you? When I say who are you, I don't mean you're not a child of God. I mean, why are you carrying pomposity and pompous, like, let me use my own word, pompous things. Like this. As I came here, based on who I be, it's a privilege for you to have me here. I'll just sit there and watch you. When you are done next year, or next time, we will see. I will see you. Oh, man of God, how are you? By the pulpit. Because the people of God who are noble people, it's a privilege for you to speak to them. You say it's a privilege for them to hear your voice. Please. Bye-bye. I have principles. You know, the principles of church growth and church expansion. The church growth is directly linked to your life, your growth. When you grow, the church grows. When you grow, the church will grow. Because the individual people form the church. So spiritually, when you are growing, it corresponds with the exponential increase of the church. It causes the church to what? Increase. Expand. So the church growth conference is the people that must grow. They must know everything about the church. Everything about Jesus. Everything about God. Everything about the act of God. To be able to serve God well. It is not about all those things that our eyes are. No. No. Me, I don't believe in that. At least Jesus, who taught me, didn't teach me those things. He taught me that the more you humble yourself, the more I lift you up. When he told me to, don't look at faces, go and tell them. Like I was afraid. As I start to tell them, these people, they will fight me. The Lord Jesus said, then I will take that kind of heart out of you. That heart of fearing people. So when you stand and hold the microphone, I will take over you. That's how it has always been. When you look at me personally, and I'm sitting down, I'm not the type that, I'm not bold when I'm sitting at my corner. But when the microphone is given to me, the Lord takes over. Things begin to come. But if you know me, personally, I'm not the type, anybody sends you, come and fight him, you see me there, you fight. You can't fight. You see that, this man is simple. But the Spirit of God takes over and he works. That is the kind of, for me, the way ministry is done is different. And I'm teaching many men of God, you are here. At least all of you are leaders. There are certain things you don't have to adapt. It is not part of leadership. Leadership is about for the people. Leadership is caring for the people. Working for the people. The Bible says go to the Lord to learn leadership. Not any kind of books in the world somewhere. Jesus said, the one who must be a leader among you must be the one to serve the people. That is why when you are sleeping, I'm praying for you. That is why we are packing communion, we are doing things, ordering, we are doing calculations, we are doing things, you know, sit with the administration. The things must be done for the church. They must be feeling comfortable. We must do this for the church. We must acquire this place for the church. You are sleeping and all these works are being done for you. You must just walk majestically and come and sit down. Even when you come and the chair is not clean, we can talk about it. Pastor, why is the chair not clean? Also, I'm sorry. Clean it for you. Because you are the noble person of God. It takes your own personal humility to come and say, oh, the chair is not clean, and take something to also clean. I can't force you. But I must make everything conducive for you to worship God. And I must teach you the right things for you to grow in the knowledge of God. So that you don't become corrupt. After the image of Satan and the world. Period. So the reason why I'm teaching you tithe, not because I want the church coffers of tithe to be massive. No! And use the tithe for infrastructure. We don't even use tithe for that purpose. And I will never do that. I will not put a basket here, whether I'm alive or dead. When the Lord takes me in, you have small days, and somebody says, he's gone, let's put the basket here. You just see my spirit come around. Amen. Because it's not a principle of God. Jesus came, he preached the gospel. You never heard Jesus say, an offering, ask for an offering. He put offering basket there and he watched them to give offerings. And even told them how big people's offerings are and small people's offerings and the one who had done good. But for tithe, he didn't put any basket in front. Because tithe, they were going to pay tithe in the priest's home. Tithe was, they went to queue to pay their tithe in the priest's home, priest's house. That's where they went to. The house was of God was the priest's home, priest's house. That's where Aaron and his sons lived. That's where they went to pay their tithe to the Levites. And they would pack everything and go and give the tenth of it to the priest. That's what they did. So it is wrong for me as a priest of the house to take direct tithe from you. No, it's wrong. Tithe is used to take care of the workers of the ministry. The instrumentalists and all that. I heard somebody say it is robbery for the instrumentalists to take that. It is their career and profession. It is wicked on our part as pastors when we don't take care of them because they have children. Some of them are married too. Some of them go to school too. They waste their time to come. You are doing all night. Their people are so good. They will do all night every day. And the instrumentalists don't come. They insure them. Yet, these people will come. They wear shirts. They wear shoes. They wear things. Do you know who they are? In the Bible, they are called servants. They are called Nephilims. I will teach you all of that. The structure of what they were practicing in the temple of God. They were the ones. They are all Levites. The ones who play the drums. The ones who clean the things. The ones who are employed to do office works and all that. They must be settled for the smooth administration of the church. If you want the church to run well. And there are pastors who are permanent. They don't do any work apart from this one. And sometimes somebody will say, I'm a pastor. I work. And you cannot be an effective pastor. Where you are working, you are tired. And then you come for service and people expect you to pray for them. It will not work. You are also tired. You go and sleep. But as for me, I left here in the evening. I couldn't sleep the whole night. I don't know if people were seeing me online. I was not sleeping. I was meditating and praying. Talking with my brother, praying together. And we are discussing things about the church. I slept at 5. I could not sleep. You cannot be working full-time work You go to work at 6, close at 5, come home by 8, and you want to be an effective permanent pastor, it will not work. You can't get time to pray for anybody. It's a lie. Is that the way God has called us to? If you don't know pastoral work and priesthood work, shut up! Because of little time somebody will pay to. Somebody should disobey God's voice. You know, you realize what you're talking about. I don't beg anybody. No. That's why I work hard so that the grace of God will be maintained on my life. Because it is by grace I stand. So if you're a man of God, it is by grace you will stand. You don't pray for the people. You don't cry for the people to prosper. You are lying. Nothing will come to you. I cry to God for the people to be blessed. And I don't expect anything in return because many people that I cry for, people outside I don't know from all over who bring me things, I don't care about that. I pray for ministers of the gospel. They are afraid to stand. So they don't adopt the worldly standards over the church. I pray for them too. And if I pray, I must teach them too. When I teach, everybody can listen. When people teach me too, I listen. The one that is good, I take. The one that is garbage, I throw into the garbage. The same thing for me. The ones you think is good for you, take it. The ones is garbage, throw it. The time will speak about it. I'm telling you my heart. And that should be the heart of every believer and every Christian. So that we can become sharp before the Lord. What is the motive behind what we are doing? Now sometimes people think that, you see, sometimes some people say, the reason for submitting to things that you don't even understand is because somebody will link you to some place. Me, if you want to link, come, I'll give you some. If you want to be preaching outside, come, I'll give you some. I've never traveled as a man of God before. Nowhere. Not even Nigeria. Even Togo, I've not gone to Togo as a man of God. I've gone to Togo as a business person when I was a business, but I've not gone to Togo or Nigeria or Ivory Coast or any place as a man of God. I've not. I've only traveled around the length and breadth of Ghana. Nowhere else. People think I came from abroad. I've been here. Yes, I've traveled before. And a lot of times before. But I've not traveled as a man of God, as a prophet. I've not. I'm telling you the truth as it is. So sometimes people think that's why he's not traveling. Hey! You are joking. They invite me. I say, no, my time is not up. Ask my sons. There are those of them who want to come and take me from here. Buy as many tickets. First class. Anybody I want to travel with. But I'm not going. There is a grace that is upon my life. That superimposes itself upon every structure and system. Are you hearing my point, somebody? Oh, my goodness. It's a grace. I say it's what? I don't work. I allow God's grace to work. I don't frustrate it. That because of links abroad, I'll go and submit to you so that I get links. Ah, where? How? I only submit to heaven. Somebody who is minded to heaven, not earth. So that I see people. It's true. God blesses people through people. But it should be humility communicated. It should be communicated humbly, not proudfully. I don't want to associate with any prideful thing. Never. Somebody, do you know this man? I don't know you. Somebody called the Lord Shema in Canada and said, I've been working with this minister of the gospel for 15 years. And I have studied and I'm a certified exorcist. And Baba John was just quiet. And I don't know, but I'm calling you because I've seen your things and all that, and I'm admiring it. And I, by the grace of God, the unction and the expertise and the skill that I've acquired over the years, I'm actually in connection with this group of bishopric, you know, whatever. And then I want to be connected and I'm highly connected, so if you have me to connect you to this or to that, I will not hesitate to do it. When I am ready, I will be able to call you and come over so that we can discuss what you can benefit from me and what I can also benefit from you. When he was done, the Lord, and he said, what is your name again? He said, this. Ezra. I said, okay, good. I don't need exorcists around me. If you want to be helped, I'm a man of God, trained from God, raw. If you want to be helped and you want to know the scriptures and the Bible, as you have heard me, come, let me teach you simple. Amen, like any other person. Now, as for what the certificate said, and the exorcist, who certified by who? He was expecting to hear heaven. He said, oh, from this, you know. He said, are you talking about men? Oh. My friend, as for me, I'm certified from heaven. If you only want certificate from heaven, come here. Amen. Now, because he doesn't display his credentials, his degrees in divinity, his masters and all that, in all that, you think that he's young, he's not going anywhere. You are joking, you are talking to a doctor. He will never put it there. He will never do anything. He will never put it there. His wife doesn't want to be known. He's taking all her things from social media. All these things. What is he coming to do in the church? I work with the man of God until something happened, a crisis, and I can't stay in the crisis. And that's Papa John said, me too, I am full of crisis.
Thank you, Jesus.
I'm never intimidated by those things. If you don't know me, that's why you think that, oh, this man. As I'm speaking to you, that's how I am when I'm sitting there, like, very humble. But when you are bringing some things on, the lion in me will come out. I'm not the type you can just bully around. No, no, no. I'm very humble. I'm very quiet. I'm very, you know, I don't blow my own horn. You see yourself. But I'm very strong on the principles of God. You can't divert me. I've preached for a lot of people. When I finish preaching, you give me all I know, I put it in the basket. I pray on it, I receive it, all right. But I bless the church with it too. Because as they were giving me, they were discussing, this is too big, this is too. You don't know how to honor a man of God, so I put it in a basket. When you come of age, you must not be intimidated to honor any man. I will be staying in my hotel, but I've heard it. So when you have finished, I say, thank you. Let me pray. Father, in Jesus' name, I bless these people for doing this. Kadabusha. Bless. Then you know what I do? I take the tithe out from my own pocket to pay the tithe of the money I gave it. Sometimes it's a check. I'll give it back. The people who bless you are the people that you have ministered the word of God to faithfully. Sometimes that ministry from your heart, people will just bless you from a lot of places. That's it. But when you are going, we are negotiating for price. Because you went to ask for links. They took money from you before the links. So when you are also going to preach, you must also take money to pay back. I don't want it. I love Jesus so much to trade the grace of God. You can trade your own. Me, I will not trade my own. Period. Clap your hands and appreciate Jesus here. Can I talk to somebody? Let me just give me some few minutes. Let me round up here of what I wanted to talk about. Praise the Lord. Clap your hands again. You love the Lord? Shatala. So understand that all the things I've talked to you about, they are principles, they are act of God. They are act of God. You have to dedicate yourself to this service. Offerings and tithes too are the act of God. And if you want to embark on all these things that I've talked about, if you want to be prayerful, it is a surrendered and dedicated service you do for God. To be able to wake up midnight and pray for people is a dedicated, surrendered life to God. It's a genuine and willingness. It has to be willing. It has to be of a willing heart. It doesn't have to be under duress. You don't have to be under duress. You don't have to be forced as a man of God to pray for people. It's a willing submission to God. And all these things, if you must do them, they must come from the Spirit, because it is by faith. Now, I wanted to show you something in the Bible, the book of Genesis, Exodus chapter number 25, verse 1. Okay, the book of Genesis, chapter number 25, the verse number 1. Thank you, Lord. Let's hear something. The Bible says God is the same yesterday, today, and forever. Now, if God himself is the same yesterday, when Abraham lived, he was the God there. When Moses lived, he was the God there. When Malachi lived, he was the God there. When Jesus came, God was God. In our dispensation, God is God. So he's the same yesterday, today, and then the futuristic forever. He hasn't changed, right? Now, is therefore wrong for you to think that God, who set principles to govern his people and people who are, you know, his people that he's chosen to serve him, he will just change principles anyhow, like he's changing his garment? It's wrong. I just want to open up your mind. So the Bible says, Abraham, God is the God of yesterday. So Abraham walked with God, and Abraham, everything Abraham did was by faith. So the Bible says, the Bible even called him the faithful Abraham. He went by faith. And the Bible says, the scripture foreseen that God would justify the Gentiles, alright, through the gospel, preached the gospel to Abraham. The book of Galatians chapter 3. Read the whole chapter 3. The verse 8 talks about that. Now, so you have to understand that Abraham lived in faith because gospel was there. Now, the gospel dispensation is out of faith. Now, the law is not by faith. Because if it is by faith, then it must be by the Spirit. That is why Abraham had God. Abraham was walking with God. He was looking for a city with foundations whose maker, builder is God. So if God is the same yesterday, today, and forever, he set the principle yesterday, the principles today, and the principles forever. Now, today as we are living, is God setting new principles? Is God setting new levels of prayer? New principles of prayer? New principles of giving? No. He set it already. I just want to show you the carnality of men. So if God is the same yesterday, today, and forever, when it comes to miracles, that's what we call this scripture. But this scripture was actually given when altar activities were being discussed in the book of Hebrews. Right there in the book of Hebrews, when altar activities were discussed about giving, receiving, you know, that is when these issues were discussed. But we have converted this scripture to only miracles. So when somebody's, you only hear this message when somebody's going for a crusade. God is the same yesterday, today, and forever. If he did it for Abraham, he will do it for you. But what about what Abraham did? You can't do it. Hypocrisy. He's the same yesterday, you believe it. Same today, same forever. So it has served its purpose. Tithe has served its purpose. What about offerings? Because wherever you see offerings, you see tithe. When Malachi was preaching, he talked about, you have robbed me in tithe and... Malachi chapter 3, verse 6. You have robbed the whole nation with tithe and... The whole nation has robbed me with tithe and... Okay. It is good for us to take offerings. As for tithe, it's not good. You know why? Offerings usually go into working for the things of God. But tithing goes... Now, a lot of people outside the church think that tithe, a lot of people, men of God, people don't know that tithe is not actually used for infrastructure things. No. Tithe is supposed to be given for men of God. So you go to certain ministries, the men of God are very, it's only the head person, the head pastor, and maybe the assistant or something. Sometimes even from the assistant to the down there, and the, everybody is struggling. They are using the tithe money for unnecessary things. But read the Bible, what the principle that establishes tithe. That's why a lot of people fight against it. If it's good for you, it's good for everybody. That's why me, as for me, you didn't send me, so you can't come here to dictate to me what I should do. The one who sent me is the one I hear his voice. He's the one who speaks to me. If you have your own doctrine, speak it to your own church. Not here. Amen? So that is why I don't want prostitution. So you are just gallivanting around, you are borrowing people's words. Carnality. You don't know the spirit through which these words came from. I don't do that. I go with like minds. I go with what? Ministries, you go and you don't see that because tithe is directly linked to the pastor's welfare and the ministry worker's welfare. That is what we highlight a lot. I don't do that. If people will pay, because tithe is directly linked to the prosperity of the people. It has something to do with dominion on the earth and the windows of heaven. I will teach you. I'm coming there. So I'm not going to, if it is linked to your own destiny, I'm not going to worry myself too much about it. Not because I'm not directly receiving it. Not like that. But the Bible says that we should do the things in what? Equally. If I'm not giving attention to justice and judgment, I must not give attention to that one too. But if I'm giving attention to justice, judgment, then I give attention to that one too. Where there's no fairness in the church, when it comes to A, it's good. B is bad. No. Disparities. No. No, not me. You can do it. It's good for you, but not good for me. I don't intellectualize the people of God. When I come to you, I know nothing of my degree and my whatever. What I know is the word of God in power. Period. What I know is dispensing the word of God by the Spirit. That's what I know. I told you that when it comes to, you know, talking about the one who has been in the system for a long time, the one who has been approved by men, and the one who has been here preaching the gospel and standing and, you know, going around the whole world and going to the UK, the US, and preaching to the king, the queens, and the kings, and the presidents, and the White Houses, and the whatever houses, and the blue houses. You give it to them. I'm not there. But when it comes to knowing Jesus and living for him, you cannot count people and leave me out. Because I live for Jesus. I say I live for Jesus. And I'm not joking about it. I live for him. You can know that the works of Jesus follows me. Are you hearing my point? Give it to the people who said that I'm not in competition with them. They've been there all along. That's why I don't believe that anybody who has been there for 15, 20 years should be fighting with me. Thank you, Father. That's the point. Let me show you something here. Then I will close. I'm going to prophesy to some few people here and pray for some few people. Are you ready for that? Apostle, can you read for me quickly? Wave your hand to us. You say, Father, thank you for blessing me. Say, I'm blessed. Say, I'm blessed 3 times. In Jesus' name. Clap for yourself. You have done well. Thank you. Now, Apostle, read on.
Genesis 25 from verse 1.
Yes, sir.
Abraham again took a wife, and her name was Keturah.
No, Exodus 25, rather. I didn't say Genesis, I said Exodus. Exodus 25.
Exodus 25 from verse 1.
Yes, sir.
Then the Lord spoke to Moses, saying,
yes.
Speak to the children of Israel that they bring me an offering.
They bring me
an offering.
Who brings offering? Who brings an offering? You're just good at the children of Israel, right? Okay. Who are we? The children of Israel. Are they children of Satan? Children of men? They are children of who? God. Who are we? Are you sure? Who are we? Who are we? Can God ask us to bring offering to him? He has answered people's questions. A lot of people wanted to ask me, can God say, sow this seed? Listen, Apostle, read again. This is God speaking.
Then the Lord
is somebody who said, Moses. He said offering. Everything you are offering is offering. Seed is offering. It's a type of offering. Just that seed is in multiplication. That's what it means. It's not like offerings are not blessed. I'll show you the blessing of offering. Let's go. Offerings are for your blessings. It is for the service in the tabernacle. Jesus is going to, he's before God as a high priest, offering the incense. So it must go with the prayers of the saints. That's the offerings. So anytime that you are preaching the gospel, you are praying, you don't offer offerings. It means that it goes alone. God will wait until sacrifices and offerings come before he does that. That is what I've taught you. And so you see people giving to the Lord, people coming to the altar when declaration is done. If you understand it deeply and you do it from your heart, that's when the blessing is. God demands purity of heart in doing the service of God. Because worship is an act of God. And seed offerings are act of God. Let's go ahead, Apostle. Speak to them. Then the Lord spoke to Moses saying, speak to the children of Israel. It's the same thing God is speaking to me to tell you. I have a lot of topics. He told me to teach you these things. Now let's go ahead.
Speak to the children of Israel that they bring me an offering.
Yes.
From everyone who gives it willingly.
Yes.
With his heart you shall take my offering.
So offering is giving
willingly.
But God can ask you for offering, but when you are going to give it willingly. So we can put something on the screen that if you want to give an offering, give it. But it should be given willingly. I can't determine how much you should give your offerings. No. Offerings must be given from your heart. But as a prophet, I can see that if you sow this, you will be blessed. I can tell you. But I don't even do it. I say, go and you yourself. Pray. God will show you yourself. Unless you purposely pray and come and say, I'm going to see the Lord to tell me, I want to give a seed, but I want him to guide me. Then the Lord will speak to me. If he has not spoken, I will tell you that he's not telling me. You have seen that he's not telling me. Go and pray. If he tells me, I'll tell you. Simple. There are those I pray and the Lord says, let them do it from their heart. So apostle will come to me and say, this one, let them do it from their heart. But this one, do this. If you go and compare yourself, you'll be in trouble. But as for this one, he told him, what about me? God wants to test your heart. God doesn't tempt you, he tests. Maybe he will put a figure to you, or you have a vision about it, or you have had it already, but you are disputing about it. So you want to come and ask John, if God, John will reduce it for you. Oh, please. I don't do that. That means in the first place, you don't want to do it. Because you should be committed in doing it. So he says, from everyone who gives it willingly, with his heart, you shall take my offering. So if it is not willingly from the heart, you must not take it. Let me show you something here. Thank you, Father. Lift up your hands and wave to the Spirit.
We believe you've been blessed by this sermon. For inquiries, please call +233 26 767 6055. +233 26 767 6055. Or send an email to info@godswordforus.com. info@godswordforus.com.